585 and sing "What a Mighty God We Serve." As Sister Rachel's class comes up.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
Sing, "When I Call on Jesus, All Things Are Possible."
Okay.
Please stand to your feet. Let's go ahead and do the prayer request. Good afternoon. Sister June says, Deanna has strep throat, and Hannah has a sore throat, and Josh has a fever. Please remember them in prayer. Sister Charlotte. Anyway, she says, pray for Mr. Brown family. They have passed away cancer, and their family are
he fell off of a ladder and he died from the fall, evidently. And my daughter and them are present today for the funeral. That's what happened.
Oh, okay.
It's the Brown family.
Okay, please remember that in prayer. And Brother Ryan says, Eula's doctor said the first EEG test was normal, but he wants to keep her in the hospital for 2 days in March to do some more tests. Please continue to pray for her full recovery.
Amen.
Please remember her in prayer. All unspoken requests, please raise your hand. Let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Lord God, thank you for this day, and I thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. And I ask in prayer that you would please answer these prayer requests, Lord. Lord, please help Brother Dale as he preaches this afternoon, or Brother Wade. And again, thank you for everything you've done, Lord. Forgive us of all of our sins. In your name, amen. You may be seated.
Sister Monica's Sunday school class, please come up for your special.
tremble. Were ye there when the stone was rolled away? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble. Were ye there when the stone was rolled away?
Brother Boyd and Sister Rachel's class, please come up for your special as we sing the chorus, I Am Blessed, page 470.
I am blessed. I am blessed.
Draw me to your side.
Your spirit leads me on by the power of your love. Hold me close. Let your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me to your side. And by the power of your love. And I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on by the power of your love. Brother
Paul and Brother Nate, come and take the offering. While they take up the offering, let's sing "I'll Fly Away," page 369. Let's all pray. Lord God, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for everything you gave us, Lord. Help us all, Lord, and help Brother Wade as he preaches, Lord, on the statue of a perfect man, Lord, in faith and virtue. Please help him this afternoon, Lord, and help whoever gives freely to the offering, Lord, because we know your will be done, Lord, and forgive us all for our sins, Lord, and help us to give freely, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, and bless the offering.
Some glad morning when this life is over,
Thank you.
prisoner's chains. In stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to sing. Their chains were
today than I did yesterday.
I need you more today than I did.
We'll change the order of the service now and sing "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord."
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Look in his word. Amen. You'll see him there. They're doing a good job still, aren't they? Yep. Let's give him a hand. Time goes on. I'd rather train a child up now in the way it'll go. And if he does depart, when he's older, got a little more wisdom, he'll come back. Good to be in the house of the Lord. You're right. That's a promise. That's right. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be back with each and every one of you. Hope we said something this morning that'll help you a little bit. And we want to continue on that thought. If you would, let's go ahead to 2 Peter 1 and start there. Some of you hot, some of you cold. Josh, don't turn around like that. I said, some of you hot. Josh goes, not. Who? Try to pick them out. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you with us. Good to have our sister with us there with Regina. Who is that, Sister Regina? Oh, praise the Lord. Well, good to have you, sister. Good to have you with us. Amen. We believe in a live God. Right. And one you can get in touch with.
Right.
His line's never busy. And I'll promise you one thing. He don't use all of his minutes up.
Right.
On his cell phone. No, he got billions and billions and billions of minutes. We just need to start using them.
Right.
Like we said this morning, we need to exercise our faith.
Amen.
2 Peter 1. Remember the announcements. Remember this afternoon, will the family be leaving, going to the funeral home for Dad's brother-in-law's viewing, so remember the family there. Brother Claude's mother is out of the hospital, but she still needs prayer. She's in her late 80s, and she's weak, so she needs prayer. And I told him that we would mention that in the service. But also remember Brother Luis coming home, that everything will be fine. He'll get all of his flights, get all of his connecting stuff together, and get back home to us. We really appreciate Brother Luis and his family for participating in our congregation. Now we really think he's a good addition to the congregation. But 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Let's bow our heads. Anything else? We got any other fellowship meeting? Remembers in March, and remember the Philippine trip and all that. Just keep us in your prayer. Lord bless each and every one of you. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray today, Lord, that you would give us a supercharge of energy, Lord, all the way from the front to the back. That you'll make us mindful of you, Lord, and let us focus our attention on you, Father, because it's obvious you should be the center of our attention, Lord. But sometimes we let the things of the world and tired bodies and the things that we're thinking about for tomorrow coming up, we let them get in the way. But Lord, just for a few moments, help us to break that back and help us to focus on you, Lord. Oh, what a wonderful bridegroom. You're the most beautiful bridegroom that ever lived. Come on this earth, Lord, and gave your life so that you can have a bride. And now you're living in the hearts of that bride, teaching her, showing her the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we pray that you would just now be the active participant in this service. Forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes and the things we do wrong, Lord. We pray that you bless the missionaries on the foreign fields, Lord. Take care of them, Lord. Give them fruit for their labor. Be with Brother Luis on his way back, Lord. Everything will be fine, and we'll be able to gather him up there at the airport Tuesday morning and get him back home to his lovely bride and his children, Father. We pray that you just bless each one now. Take care of us, lead us, and guide us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So he's talking to a group of people. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given us, unto us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So he's telling us how to live our life and how to be godly in that life. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, besides all this that he's already given us, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you know for one thing, if you're barren and unfruitful and you think you're light and you don't have anything to show for your Christianity, you just need to get God. You just need to get God in your life. Just get God in your life, because these things will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember, we're sheep. Sheep have to be led. We're not goats, I hope. But we're not goats, we're sheep. We do what the shepherd says. But he that lacketh these things is blind. That's not our problem. If you lack these things, you're blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. There's that word again. To make your calling and election sure. Not your pastor, not the deacon, not your daddy, not your mama, not your husband, not your wife. Your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. We thank the Lord. I like what Brother Jewel says. Thank the Lord for the reading of the word. We could go home, but that's something else I need to say. But now, let's put the chart up there and just kind of give everybody a background again, because I like to background. Here we have the stature of a perfect man. This is the layout that Peter has given us in the Bible that we as Christians must live by. If you're a Christian, this is what you must live by. And that is add to your faith, which is the new birth, which is the Holy Ghost. Add to your new birth, virtue. Amen. Add to your new birth, knowledge. Add to your new birth, temperance. Because it's an adding. Add patience. Add godliness. Peter, even the one that wrote this, he wrote a little bit later on. He said, being born again. Being born again. That means that's an ongoing process. All right? So we get all these virtues. But we must start at a building of the foundation. Right. Remember the headstone? They rejected him. We showed before, you don't have to put it up there, but remember the headstone was rejected. But he comes right down and becomes the chief cornerstone and starts building the building. You're not going to, you listen, whatever you do, you're not going to diminish God. You might diminish God in your life, but you'll never diminish God, because the plan of God is going to be started and it's going to be finished. So it's going to be carried out whether you, because remember, you become an unbeliever when you don't believe God can carry out that plan.
Right.
But you're a believer when you come into the realm of believing that God has a plan and it's for you.
Right.
It fits you and the brother in China.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Right.
You, the brother in China, listen. It's like Brother Dale told him down in Jamaica. He said, we got the same devils you got. It's just got different names up here than you got down there.
Right.
Okay? So that's the same way here. It's the same Holy Ghost. May have a different name, called a Chinese or a Japanese or a Vietnamese or Hispanic, whatever. It's the same God. You must have the same new birth. It's not going to be different for one as it is for another.
Right.
All right, so we must. So that's why God makes this thing so simple. He makes it so common that anybody can get the new birth if you just go by the plan. The plan is justification,
right,
sanctification, into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is, we showed this morning, this is the outer court. The old temple that they had in the wilderness had an outer court that was open. There was a lot of rain, and if it was raining, you got wet. Because there was nothing to cover you. In sanctification, you went into a different area. Not everybody could go into that area, because some can't go from justification to sanctification. Some get stuck at justification, okay? But if you go on to sanctification, you walk into a different room that has a light, but it's an artificial light. It's the candle. It's a candelabra or the candlestick. And we don't have one here, but it's the type of the church ages. But you walk on into the Holy of Holies. When that priest went behind that veil, that cover or that curtain dropped, it was dark until God came. There was no light until God came. That Shekinah glory come down and sit on top of that ark. And he accepted the blood of that priest. And if there was something wrong with that priest died. They had a rope tied to his leg so they could pull him out. Why? You couldn't run back in there. Hey, there was a guy one time. You remember the guy that from David, when David had brought the tabernacle back to Jerusalem. This guy, he had goodness in his heart, I believe. I don't believe he had no malice or nothing. He didn't want that ark to hit the ground. Well, the first problem David had was he wasn't bringing it back like God told him to bring it back. It's supposed to be with a pole on the shoulders of the priest, but it was on a cart with a bunch of donkeys pulling it. So he wasn't bringing it back right the first time. But when that thing started to tip over, the guy just touched it, he immediately died. Because look, God said, hey, that's my plan. Don't touch it. But now he requires everybody to touch it. See, there's the difference. When Jesus Christ himself came, which was the Shekinah glory that was in that ark, that man, that Shekinah glory became Jesus Christ. He took away the sin of us trying to hold the ark up and says, hey, you got to put your hands on the ark. You only got to not put your hands in the ark. You got to get in the ark.
Right.
You got to get in the ark. You got to get in the Holy of Holies. You can't stay out here and be a child of God.
Right.
Amen? You can't. Because it's God's plan. Like I said this morning, God had a plan. He's going to see it achieved. And you know what? You decide whether you get in or not.
Amen.
Your free moral agency decides. You remember the quote? I'm not going to read it this afternoon for save time. But remember, Brother Branham said, it's your faith. As high as your faith will go, that's how far you'll go. Okay? So it's up to us. It's up to us. But you know what it is up to us to do, though? It's up to us to make ourselves available. That if somebody's preaching the statue of a perfect man, or somebody's preaching the whatever, and that's what you need, you can't be in California.
Right.
Or at home.
Right.
All right. Now, let's go to Ephesians 4. I want to keep reading this because, look, Paul shows us how to get these virtues. I want you to really see that. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the what? Perfecting of the saints. This is the stature of a what? Perfect man, all right? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all, he give it to us, till we all come to what? To the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure, measure is stature, of the fullness of Christ. Right. All right, so we got that part. So everybody understands where we're going with this, that it's got to be done through the fivefold ministry. It's already in the Word. It's just that we've got to glean it out of the Word, and that's what we're going to talk about today is knowledge when we get to it, because knowledge has several things involved in not just that word knowledge. All right? It's not just having knowledge. It's not just knowing something.
Right.
Brother Brown, God even says right there, he says it's not just the word, it's the power.
Right.
All right? It's the power. All right? Because power without character, go back to the quote, power without character is satanic. Right. All right? So that's what we're talking about this morning. Virtue. Virtue is strength. Virtue is power. All right? Let's go to Hebrews 11:6. I told him we were just going to background a little bit. Because look, sorry. This whole thing is based on faith. It's whether you can believe what you're hearing is the truth.
Right.
And then you got to be able to discern. Because, see, these things keep adding on top of each other.
Right.
Add to your faith. That's why this morning I really want you to see that. That's not just faith. It is just faith, but faith alone won't work all
right.
The time. Everything. I'll read the quote. Maybe I think I put it back in here. But faith alone will not, in other words, get you a body change.
Right.
But faith, you can't leave that, but you got to have virtue faith.
Right.
You got to have some strength added to that faith. All right? Because faith alone won't do it. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Who? God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Is what? That He's God.
Right.
And He's going to do what He said. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Right.
Amen? Now, let's go to quote number 5 that we talked about this morning. Because I want you to see it. I want us to nail this thing down. You hear me?
Right.
Right. I want to nail this thing down. If it hurts your feelings, I'm sorry. But we got to start showing that we're Christians.
Right.
Not that we're sometimers.
Right.
I want you to take a look around today. Take a good look around now and find virtue out of something that's not there anymore. Pharisees and Sadducees have left. Now we can have church. Pharisees and Sadducees. The fair you see and the Sadducees. Listen, Jesus' problem was with the religious people. I told him between services, this had all that whole crowd of people. Where's Trudy out here you laughing? They wasn't a person eating with me and June. I said, well, I made a bunch of people mad this morning. I said, but the preacher yesterday said Jesus eat with sinners and publicans, and all the religious people left him. So me and Jim were sitting there by ourselves. But it's just circumstances, but it is kind of funny. Take a look around you. Examine the people as they walk by. Listen, we've got to be able... What if Brother Dale came in here and he preached Sunday morning, and then here we all come back at 2 o'clock and we're ready to go to church, and he ain't here. Now, what virtue are we going to put in that?
Right. Right.
Come to my house and you see a Budweiser can sitting on the... Take a good look around you.
Yeah.
Examine the people as they walk by. In the multitudes you see, can you pick out those that have the appearance of Christians? Watch how they dress. Watch how they act. Hear what they say. See where they go. Surely there ought to be some real evidence of the new birth amongst all those we see go by.
Right.
But few there be. Yet today the fundamental churches are telling us they have millions saved and even spirit-filled. Spirit-filled, and then you read the rest of it. It's what we project. It's what you and I draw strength from.
Right?
Isn't that true? We can't draw virtue out of something that doesn't have virtue in it.
Right.
All right? Because remember, like we said today, you know, if we take the generator down to the hunting club, that thing's 4,000 watts. We got to start it, for one thing. We know it's a generator. We know it will generate power. I'm going somewhere with this. We know it'll generate power. So we pull the cord. It starts running. We start plugging things into it. Well, what happens? We know there's power in it. That's why we plug into it. We don't start the generator and then walk over to a tree and try to stick the plug in a tree. Why? What's in that tree? No power. There's no electricity in there. We go over and we stick it in the generator because that's where we perceive there is power. All right? And you know what? Our perception becomes a reality when we plug it in and the coffee pot starts working. I said the coffee pot starts working. Amen. But if we were going now, I don't know if that's going to start that thing or not. Isn't that the way we are sometimes with the Word of God?
Right. Yep.
The power's there. The thing's running. It says generator in big old letters right here. And it's even got a place to plug in. And we go over there and go, I don't know. If I do that, I don't know what's going to happen. No, you have confidence that that's what that is.
Right.
And that's where you're going to get your power. So you plug it right in there. And then the evidence of it is when that coffee pot, hallelujah, starts percolating. Take a good look around. Examine the people as they walk by. Amen? All right, let's go on and let's look at virtue. Let's look at what we were talking about on the chart. Let's pull the chart back up, because now what we have to do is we got to break this thing down. Go to the other one.
Brother Anderson back there?
Yeah. See, we've come now from faith, we've come now to virtue, and we call that now virtue faith, because it's faith all the way up. It's like Brother Gary Krantz said after service. He said, you know, you can even have a good foundation. But if you build on one part, try to build that whole building on just one part of that foundation, it's going to crumble. That's why you got to build. See, that's what he was saying is we build a firm foundation. But if you take these two walls and you set them right here, I don't care what you're going to do. That thing's going to start caving. But you build it with balance. And that's the same thing with this. Statue of a perfect man. It's built with balance.
Right.
It's a balanced life. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about bringing we're taking our baby form faith and we're adding some strength to it.
Amen.
We're putting some good studs up.
Right.
We're not missing a stud. We're putting good studs up. 16 on center. We're doing every one of them down through there. All right. God builds his house like we build a house. That's where we get our plans from.
Right.
All right. Firm foundation. But then it becomes virtue faith. It's faith that we have with power. Amen? Because remember, power without character is satanic. All right? But power with character. So we're bringing the with character now with virtue faith. Strong faith. Let's go to the number six. Quote number six. Well, no, let's go to Mark 5. Mark chapter 5 is going to be, he's going to have to click through these, so just bear with him. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, this is Mark 5:30. For those of you that maybe don't know, this is where Jesus was walking down the street, and the woman that had an issue of blood, she had a female problem for years. No one could help her. She had been to every physician that they known to man. But she said, if I could but touch the hem of that man's garment, I'll be made whole. She perceived first that he had virtue.
Yeah.
There walked the generator by. There was the general of the generators. The only generator there ever is. There's no nuclear power can whip that guy. He's the general. She saw the generator and she said, all I need to do is plug in. Because I perceive that there's where the power is.
Right.
Now see, that's what you and I must come to, that, that a man can walk down a road and you can say, that's where the power's coming from.
Right. Right.
Or that man has enough power that if I need some, I can go get it.
Right.
And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, what? He got weak. It weakened him because in his humanity, he was a man.
Right.
Just like me and you. He was subject to all the things we're subject to. So he had this power. And we were talking downstairs. Brother Dale's had it happen to him a couple of times. I had it happen to me one time in Jamaica when we were preaching over at Ginger Hill at a tent revival there. And Brother Dale was there. I had to. I almost fell off the stage. I had to put my hands on my knees. But I did. They were drawing so much strength and virtue out of you. And you can feel it too. You say, well, I haven't felt it. Yeah, you talk to somebody.
Right.
Go talk to somebody long enough.
Right.
Especially if you get a good pull from them.
Yeah.
And you walk away and you're a little bit exhausted. You're a little bit, you know, you're a little bit going, man. But you know what? It makes you feel good.
Right.
I don't think Jesus felt bad.
No,
I think he felt good. He knew something had happened. There was a draw that come from him because he said, who touched me?
Right.
He wanted to know who it was. He said, who touched me?
Right.
And of course, Peter, now look, hundreds of people were touching him. You know, I'm sure he was going through the crowd and there was, and Peter was his bodyguard, obviously. Oh, good old Peter. He was the bodyguard. He didn't want nobody to touch him, you know, but everybody was touching him. Peter said, Lord, Peter's like me. Can't shut up. Peter said, Lord said, everybody's touching you. How are we going to pick out the one? He said, the Bible said he turned and looked. And what happened was the extension cord was still plugged in.
Right.
And it went right straight to that little woman laying over, sitting over there. And he said, woman, thy faith has saved you or has healed you. So we know that we have the ability to be a generator because of the Holy Ghost that's in us. If there's no Holy Ghost in us, then we're not a generator. Sure, there's people even in, and like Brother Brown said, there's people that have virtue. There's people you like to be around, right? That are sinners.
Yeah.
They are, because we work with them. We rub shoulders with them. There are people that are not born again. That's okay that we can draw June's dad for one. I we need to pray for him. I wish he'd just get born again and not just be a nice guy. But as far as business-wise and wisdom, his wisdom of years and his wisdom of business, I draw virtue from that. Okay? I told him one time, I said, Gene, I said, I really do. I love him. Wish he'd get born again. But I draw strength from you from that. I said, but I can't draw strength from you from the Scripture. Because he's never read the Bible. He's never read the Bible. 81 years old and never read the Bible. But there's a lot of people that thinks just being good is going to get them to heaven.
Right.
No, you got to be connected to that generator.
Exactly.
Amen? And we still pray. We still pray that everything's fine. But there are people that you can draw strength from, like Dave Ramsey, as far as financial and being a Christian and being financially okay. And there's different ones. But this, we're talking about our soul.
Right.
This is my soul that we're talking about here. This is your soul. That it not only goes to the body, which healed that woman, but it goes now into the soul. Because that faith, that virtue of faith, must be in the soul.
Right. Yeah.
It can't be in just the body and the spirit. That thing's got to be in that soul, generating power.
Right.
And how do you get that? By studying, reading your Bible. Faith comes by
hearing.
And by the
word of God.
Amen. All right? Which liveth, don't forget, which liveth and abideth forever.
Right.
Amen. So this virtue that we're talking about and this faith and this knowledge that we're talking about all has to start from your soul.
Right.
Either that, it's not virtue faith. It's just virtue. But having virtue faith, we look at that and we see that it's virtue faith is something added to your faith. Amen? So it's virtue, something. What is it? Strength. And where do you draw strength from? Like I said, you don't draw strength from reading the newspaper. You draw strength from reading the scriptures. Because there is where the power is. The power lays in the revealed Word of God. You heard what I said. The revealed Word of God. Not just reading it like a letter or a newspaper. All right? So there is virtue. Now, I don't know anything else to say about virtue. Let's go to quote number 7. We've read all these. We read Mark 30, and we know in the book of Acts. Let's not. We'll just skip that one for length of time here. The Bible says, we read here in the book of Luke, said virtue went out of him. Is that right? Congregation says amen. If we're going to be like him, we must have virtue then. We must have it to be like him.
Amen.
All right? We must have it to be like him. If we're going to be like him, we must have it. All right? It's the first song I ever loved in the hymns. One of the greatest was "To Be Like Jesus." Well, if I'm going to be like Jesus, I've got to have virtue and a path that can pass forward from me to the people. I mean, I've seen people, and I know you have too, I've seen people that you know, it's like Brother Luke said yesterday, and it's what Brother Brown said. He said, the Pentecostals had the power, the Baptists had the word. One had a checkbook, the other had plenty of money in the bank, but they didn't ever get it together. Doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank if you can't write a check for it. Right? So that's the same way with people that I see, that sometimes they have a lot of these and be godly virtues, but they don't know how to get it to the people. They don't know. I mean, they live a good life, and the life is surely the past, but you've got to have a way. There's got to be a way to get. That's why that I believe the fivefold ministry is that past. That's the only way you're going to get it. So that's the pathway or the path to get it, but it's got to be a perfect fivefold ministry, not a perfect person, but a perfect word coming through that person so that you can get, so that it can pass and you can understand. Because you know what? We're all the same way. We're all the same way. You hear a sermon and you think, boy, I got a lot out of that. Then you hear a sermon and you go, I really didn't get a lot out of that. Well, you know, sometimes I'll say that, and I'll go, well, Lord, it must have been for somebody else, because it sure wasn't for me that day. Right? We're all human that way. We all, there's things that bother us, but there's got to be a fivefold ministry that preaches the perfect word, because that's the pass that gets it to you. To pass it can pass forward from me to the people.
Right?
All right? Because virtue went out of him to the people. Virtue. And before you can let it out, you got to have it first. You haven't got it, it won't come out. There's nothing for it to come out of.
Right.
What if someone tried to draw virtue out of us and the check would return insufficient funds? No, none there were to draw from. Check bounce. Somebody looked at you as a Christian, and tomorrow see you out there carrying on like a sinner.
Right.
Not much virtue can be drawn from that.
Right.
Amen? Virtue must be in us, and until we get virtue, then when we get true virtue, you can add it to your faith.
Amen.
And see, then it becomes virtue faith.
Right.
I hope you see that. That's a revelation.
Yes, sir.
That's the next foundation wall. Now, first, you must have faith. Faith alone won't do it.
Right.
You've got, Peter said, then add virtue to your faith.
Right.
All right? You must have virtue in order to add it to your faith. Now, it must be a reason that many churches don't have it, because they say the days of miracles is past. Virtue, anyone knows what the word virtue is, we know what it means. Strength or power. All right? So I believe we do have virtue is strength, power. It expects us to have it, so we must not just have faith, we must have powerful faith.
Right.
Amen? We must have a faith that's strong enough to stand when we're supposed to stand. Bible says, being weak in faith, they didn't understand the word.
Right.
Amen? Being weak in faith, babies are weak and not strong in the Word of God. It's okay to be a baby. We all started as a baby. But it's not okay to stay a baby. Okay? We can't stay a baby and be a full stature of a perfect baby. No, I don't say baby. I say as man. Right? Don't say stature of a perfect baby. Say stature of a perfect man. All right? Now, let's go to the next one. Everybody kind of got virtue. Virtue is strength. Something to draw from. We must have virtue faith. We must have a strong faith. So let's go to the next one and bring up the next one. Kind of cute, isn't it? Now we must have knowledge faith.
Right.
Now this is going to help us. Because it's not just, when we look at the word knowledge, what's the first thing you think of?
Yeah.
Know everything. Know it all. Knowledge. Just know, quote the Bible back and forth. You can do that and die and go to hell.
Right.
You can quote this message. Every quote, die and go to hell.
Right?
Because right? Remember, you can have the Holy Ghost anointing on something and just be anointed. But if that anointing goes in you, that's why you hear in, and Brother Dick taught, we say, you know, no, it's not, it's in earth.
Right.
It's not on earth.
Right.
It's in earth.
Right.
In
right.
earth
right.
as it is in heaven.
Right.
In this earth of this man sitting here.
Right.
It's not on. On is an anointing.
Right.
David had an anointing on him.
Right.
If he would have had an anointing in him, he'd have never killed his best friend and took his wife. But that's an anointing on. That's the anointing ones at the end time. You can be anointed all the way down through the first court and the second court. You can be anointed on your spirit every day of your life and die and go to hell. Because why? This only goes to heaven. This is only bride. Let's put it this way. This is only the bride of Jesus Christ. All right? Foolish virgin. But now remember, foolish virgin, I was telling somebody the other day, read that scripture. Where do foolish virgins go to get oil? They go looking for us. Because we're the only ones that have the oil. So they're going to have to come to find the oil. That says the foolish, remember, they went to the wise, right? Says, let us have some of your oil. Hey, buddy, sorry. I just got enough to squeeze myself through.
Right.
I don't have enough to give you because you may have sat at home for 5 or 6 years and never listened to the Word of God. Because
yeah.
they are foolish virgins. They are virgins.
Right.
Okay? But the foolish virgin is going to come asking for oil, and we're not going to have enough to give them because we're going to be already sealed away.
Right.
You can't unseal what God seals.
Glory.
Amen? Think about that. You can't unseal what God seals. Once God seals you in, sure, there's a pass or an outlet to get it out to the people, but you got to be in your free moral agency. You got to decide whether you want it or not.
Right.
If it's never been presented to you, you have a chance. If it's been presented to you and you turn it down, you don't have a chance.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Right.
Amen. Sorry. Knowledge, faith. Now, instead of just having virtue faith or strong faith, we got to know how to use it.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Because he that is lacketh these things is blind and unskillful.
Right.
Isn't that what we said? Unskillful in the Word of God. And it uses the word knowledge several times there in 2 Peter. So let's move on and see. Let's go to Proverbs. Now, as we go through this, Brother Dale kind of touched on it the other day. When you say you can't see, anytime in the scripture you say you can't see, that means you can't understand.
Right.
Is that all right?
Right.
Because you can see.
Yeah.
If you're naturally blind, yeah, you can't see. But if you're looking and I'm looking at Daddy and I'm not blind, I can see. But now I cannot understand him
right.
and be looking right at him.
Right.
Right? So seeing in God is understanding.
Right.
So you say, well, you know, because that's what you say. You say, I don't see that. Well, that don't mean you can't look at it.
Right.
You're looking at it.
Right.
You just can't understand it.
Right.
All right? So you can't understand it because sometimes your eyes are blinded, as we see in Peter. But watch. The reason your eyes are blind is because you don't have enough discernment to discern the right from the wrong. Because truly that word knowledge means discernment. Amen? So we got to have discernment faith now. Not just faith, not just powerful faith. We got to have discerning faith. Is that okay with everybody? Is that all right? We got to have discerning faith. How many times I know we were sitting one time in a service with about 600 people. Well, you think, my God, 600 people ought to be right. Preacher was preaching. There was about 8 of us or 10 of us sitting in a row. And everybody's up, ah, hallelujah, ah, that was right, that's right, brother, preach it. And we're sitting there going, that ain't right. What is it? It's some little something in here. It's that discernment. It's that powerful faith that we have in what we heard that was right. And then we heard that, and it went ding, 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 ding. Well, I'm not going to get up and scream and shout over something I don't agree with. I hope you don't either. That's why some of you probably don't agree with a lot of what's going on, because you're not screaming and shouting now. You knew I was coming to that, didn't you? You knew I was coming. You can tell Janet that, boy. Okay. Janet called this morning and wanted to know, did I preach on anybody this morning? I said, I opened my mouth, didn't I? I showed up. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, this is Proverbs, all right? But fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Right.
All right? You must put yourself in position to listen to the Lord to get the knowledge. And then what you have to do, though, is, just like today, you have to hear, and then you have to discern or filter what's right and what's wrong.
Right.
Or what pertains to you and what don't pertain to you. Okay? Now let's go to Proverbs. There's a lot in Proverbs, but we're just going to pick a few out to save time. Proverbs 2, verse 5 and 6. Everybody okay with me just taking 1 hour and 10 minutes? Is that okay? I'm doing good. I hadn't went past it, but maybe 5 minutes one time. Is that okay? I'm scared of Terrence sitting back there. At least you don't have to worry about the check. Lisa writes that one. Not you. It's always got good ink on it. Because Terrence always tells the preachers, he says, look, you go over an hour, so that ink on that check's going to disappear. Proverbs 2, verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. And find, you got to go get it.
Right.
You got to find it. And find the knowledge of God. Why did you go to this church and that church? And sometimes you just stay in the Baptist and the Methodist and Branham churches. And you understand what I'm saying? I'm not leaving anybody out. But you have to find the knowledge of God. Because listen, that little thing inside of you, that little bell that goes off and says, this ain't right, this ain't right, this ain't right. If you've got the true power inside of you, the Holy Ghost, you can't stay there. Especially once you hear something else. Sister Trudy? Sister Trudy's an absolute living witness of that. Sit in a church and you I'm in a message church. That's what people say. I'm in a message church. I don't mean spit to God. It really don't. But you have to find the knowledge of God. All right, so if you got to have then knowledge faith. If you have knowledge faith, then when you come and sit and listen to somebody that tries their best to preach the Word of God and it rings home, you know, it ought to make you feel good.
Right.
When that thing's hitting on all 8 cylinders, it ought to feel good.
Amen.
You know, a nice classic car like Brother Martin, some of them's got, it's really nice, but if it ain't got a motor in it.
Yeah.
Right, Boyd? Amen. If it ain't got a motor in it, you know what? It's real pretty to look at, but it's going to sit on blocks till there's a motor got it put in that thing. All right? For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding.
Exactly.
All right? So that's where you're going to get it from. It's what it's talking about. You got to see that there's born-again people in this message that's trying their best to get a bride ready for Jesus Christ.
Right.
All right? You got to find out where it's at, though.
Right.
Amen? You got to find it. You got to find. The Bible says find that pearl of great price.
Right.
All right. You got to find that thing. Proverbs 2. All right. So that's where we're going with faith, virtue faith, and now with knowledge faith. All right. Proverbs 12, verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge.
Right.
But he that hateth reproof is brutish.
Right.
Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. Now, you know what the other scripture says? There's only one kind of child that can't take correction.
Right.
That's a bastard child.
Right.
Cannot stand correction. Well, that's the same thing as this right here.
Right.
Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. All right, let's go to Proverbs 24:5. Proverbs, like I said, is full of speaking of knowledge and wisdom. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength.
Right.
So now what was virtue? Strength faith or strong faith, right?
Right.
Virtue, so there you got strong faith. So you're going to increase that strong faith by knowledge. See how that thing's moving on up? Moving on up, moving on up. All right, now the definition of that is gnosis, which is knowledge or science. Knowledge signifies in general intelligence, understanding. The general knowledge of Christian religion, the deeper, listen to this, the deeper, more perfect and enlarged knowledge of this region, such as belongs to the more what? Advanced. Hey, we're at the third stage here. We shouldn't be babies anymore. We should be become to a little bit more maturity. We must enlarge knowledge of this religion, such as belongs to the more advanced, especially of things lawful and unlawful for Christians. Moral wisdom, such as seen in right living. What I say? You're going to show it outwardly. All right? All right, here's the other definition. Genosko is to know, perceive, understand. To learn to know, come to know, get a knowledge of, perceive, and feel. To know, to understand, perceive, have knowledge of. Now, of course, obviously, number three is a Jewish idiom, which is a comparison for sexual intercourse between a man and a woman. Remember when they come up to Jesus? And they said, Jesus, have I not cast out devils in your name? He said, depart from me, I never knew you. I never had a personal relationship with you, all right? So you can bring that in if you want to, but to stay into the statue of perfect man, let's leave that alone. But it is true. That's absolutely the truth. You must know Jesus Christ. It must be a personal, intimate relationship, not a sexual relationship. That has nothing to do with God and your new birth. It has nothing to do with it. Actually, it contrary and takes you away from it.
Right.
Amen? That's how we got here, so we can make a choice. After the womb was closed up in the Garden of Eden, which we, you know, do not believe it was a piece of fruit that Eve ate, or she would have had to put an apron over her mouth. But she put her apron over her private parts because that's where the thing all got started. All right? So that closed the womb up. God had to permit sexual intercourse to come. And then through that, though, we come here to make a choice. How simple is that? He brought us right back here, Brother Richard. We were going to come anyway. But he brought us right here through your mom and dad, and then guess what? When you grew up to the age of accountability, you made a choice. Same choice he saw you make before the foundation of the world. Amen?
Exactly.
Our problem is we just don't know. We got to get into this statue of a perfect man, and I believe once we get up there to the headstone, we're really going to know our purpose and plan for being here.
Right. Right.
Amen?
That's right.
I believe we'll really know why we're here and what we're doing here. Because each one of us are a generator in itself. Amen? Because remember, we're supposed to generate the love of God. Amen? All right, so we got the definition. To understand, or they left one out, but I looked at the other. Some of these perceive. Perceive is discernment. All right, so I looked up the word discernment, and the discernment word discernment means the ability to decide between truth and error. That's all discernment is the ability to decide truth from error. All right? Now, if you have Holy Ghost knowledge, it'll be truth and error of the Word. Then there's no error in the Word. But if somebody preaches you the Word and they bring error, then you're able to perceive and do like we did that night. I don't care if 6 million people would have been there. I really don't. That don't bother me one bit. I wasn't going to stand up and shout over an error. Amen? I hope you wouldn't either. Just by going with the crowd. You know as well as I do. I ain't in the crowd. Jesus wasn't either. Amen? And if we got to be like Jesus, then I hope we never get popular. Because he wasn't a very popular man to certain type of people. All right, let's go to quote number 8. Let's listen to what Brother Brown says about this. And we'll continue this next Sunday with not some of knowledge, but I'll cut it off here in just about 15 minutes. Statue of a Perfect Man, 1962. And then thirdly, you add knowledge. Knowledge. Now, that don't mean worldly knowledge, because that's foolishness to God. But knowledge to judge. There's another word, judge. How are we going to judge angels? How we're supposed to judge. We're not supposed to take anybody in this congregation. Brother Boyd, if me and him are in business together and we fall out and he messes me over by $1 million, I'm never to take that man to court.
Right.
We're supposed to come right here and settle it right here and let you judge.
Right.
Never take to a court outside. Now look, if a guy hits you and he's not a Christian, that ain't what he's talking about. Don't let the people run over you.
Right.
Take them to court.
Right.
But we're not supposed to ever take anybody inside this building to court.
Right.
Amen? That's what the Bible says, because he said, hey, I think even Paul was a little strong. He said, I forbid you.
Right.
In other words, I'm paraphrasing, but I forbid you to take a man to court that's in the congregation. He said, you settle it right here. How are we going to judge angels and we can't judge among ourselves? Right? Amen? Thirdly, you add knowledge. Knowledge. Now, that doesn't mean worldly knowledge, because that's foolishness to God. But knowledge to judge. Judge what? Right from wrong. Now, look. That's not judging right from wrong of whether I need to smoke or drink or cut my hair or not cut my hair. That was way down here at faith. That's not what that's talking about. Right? So it's right from wrong in the things in our everyday life, but it also is when we're sitting here, we're judging the Word of God.
Right.
How do you judge it then if you got Christian knowledge with your virtue and faith? Question mark. He's asking, how do you judge it then? If you've got Christian knowledge or knowledge faith with your virtue faith and faith, how you do it? You judge whether the Word is right or wrong. If you can lay aside all of your creeds and all of your unbelief, everything that you claim you have done,
Right. Then
you have knowledge to believe that God cannot lie. Let every man's word be a lie, but mine be true. See, now we're getting knowledge. Look, right. That's supreme knowledge.
Yeah.
You don't have to have 4 degrees in some college or something like that to have it. Because all these virtues are given to you by God to place upon the foundation of whose faith?
Yeah.
Your faith.
Right.
That you might come to the full stature of a real living man of God. Yes, sir. Add knowledge, because knowledge of His Word. You must believe it in this way. You must believe it in this way.
Right.
That's what He said. Such as you should believe today that and accept it, that the days of miracles is not past.
Amen.
Knowledge that what God said, God is able to perform. Abraham believed that when he was 100 years old. That's why he's the father of our faith.
Right.
He was 100 years old. He staggered not at the promise of God. You know what? God had to get Abraham to a place where he couldn't do it himself. That's our problem. We think we can do it ourselves. He had to get Abraham so old.
Yep. That's right.
He had to get Abraham so old to where Abraham one day said, God, there ain't no way I can do it unless you do it. That's the same way with you and I. We got to get to a place where, God, there's no way I can fight this, and you can put whatever you want to in there. God, you're going to have to do it. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Look how ridiculous that word looked. Here's a man, 100 years old, looking for a baby to be born in his house by a woman, 90 years old.
Right.
He didn't look at circumstances. Almost 50 years past bearing, lived with her since she was a young girl or teenager, and here he is, his life stream's dead, Sarah's womb's dead, all hope is gone as far as it was as far as it was hopes. But yet against hope, he believed in hope because he acknowledged that God was able to keep everything that he promised.
Right.
Now, when you get it like that,
right,
then add that to your faith.
Amen.
When you got true virtue, add it to your faith. When you can walk out here on the street, live like a Christian, act like a Christian, be a Christian, add that to your faith. When you have knowledge, you say, well, I don't know how much this scripture is just right. Now, here's Acts 2:38. I don't know how it's going to with Acts 28:19. I don't. All right. Don't add nothing because you ain't got it yet. What you going to do? Because you haven't got knowledge enough to know of God.
Right.
Yet, that the Bible doesn't contradict itself. Leave it alone.
Right.
Until you're ready, leave it alone. Don't say no more about it. Leave it alone. But when you can see how God's moving you up. But when you can see that the scripture is not contradictory, and may I add that the message of the hour is not contradictory, that you can say that and can see that by the revelation of God, the whole word is wrote in mysteries. The whole word's wrote in mystery. Amen? I mean, the whole word is wrote in mystery, and only the knowledge of God can reveal it. Then when you get and say, punctuate every word of God with an amen, then add that to your faith. Oh, you're getting to be a pretty good man now, right now, see? You're coming up, see what with faith, then virtue, then knowledge. See how it's building this man? You can see there's no way escaping it. This is the way to become in the full stature of Christ. Yes, sir.
Right.
To judge.
Right.
Not only to judge right.
Right.
Judge whether it's right or wrong to believe God's word.
Right.
Judge whether it's right or wrong, whether I should serve a creed or serve God. Judge whether it's right or wrong, I should be born again or join a church.
Right.
Then you beginning, judge right. When the preacher says the days of miracles is past, the Bible says Jesus Christ same yesterday and forever. Now which you going to believe? So then it becomes your choice. It becomes your discernment. God lays it back on you and says, okay, you got to discern whether that's right or wrong.
Right.
All right? See, God never gets away from that free moral agency. You got a choice. Even after you're born again, you got a choice. See, you're up here now. You're not down here. You're right here. You're a couple of steps up into being a perfect man. And you've still got to discern between truth and error.
Right
and wrong. All right, so we see now that that was number, which one was that? Number 8. Go to number 9. Statue of a perfect man. Paragraph 180. The word is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible said so. Christ being revealed in his word. And if he was watched over when you, look, watch this. And if he has watched over you when you transgress these laws, he condemns you for it. How much more has he watched over his law that condemns you?
Exactly.
Amen? Go on, boy. Don't tell me that stuff.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I believe in genuine Holy Ghost knowledge. Holy Ghost knowledge will always punctuate the word with what? Amen.
Amen.
When you get these things that seems, you see, it said seem to contradict themselves in the Bible, you sit down and study it and prayerfully like that. And the first thing you know, the Holy Spirit begins to move in. After a while, you see it ties together and there you got it. That's knowledge. You remember Brother Branham? He said the angel would come and tell him certain scriptures and he'd spend all day. What? He was using that knowledge that he had to discern whether that angel was right or wrong. That's why God truly had a word prophet. Because you know what? If I'd have been sitting in my living room and a man come walking through the wall, Brother Danny, that had on a white robe, and he said, preach this right here.
Yeah.
Well, most of us, number one, would have had to wake up from the fainting.
Right. Yeah.
But we shouldn't be abnormal to the spiritual. Okay? But most of the time we just go ahead and write everything Danny says and come here and say, well, bless God, an angel gave it to me. Paul said if an angel from heaven come and preach any other thing of what I've already preached to you on earth, let him be accursed. I don't care where he comes from.
Right.
And he said it twice.
Right.
I say now, I say it again. If anybody comes and preaches something else different, let him be accursed. I said that at a minister's meeting one time. Didn't go over very well. Discernment is required of a Christian. You know as well as I do. You have to discern a lot of things. Normally, naturally in your natural life, and definitely in your spiritual life. You're discerning all the time. See, that's knowledge. That's knowledge faith. What I do is I have faith in my knowledge. Because I believe I've been taught well. I believe I've been taught the right way. I believe I've been taught by the Word of God, by all the ministers. I've been taught the right way. So I can go to a minister's meeting. And a brother said the other day, said, I missed you at the last minister's meeting. I said, yeah, there wasn't a lot of controversy there, was there? And he said, no, you're right, there wasn't. But I don't agree with some of the things they agree with. And I'm not, you know me, I'm not going to sit there and agree with something I don't agree with. But it's not just, but remember though, that can be just your idea.
Exactly right.
I could just be so puffed up in myself that I got an idea that they're wrong. But if I can put it in the Word of God and the prophet's message, and it dovetails together, I ain't going to worry about what somebody else, another angel from heaven coming preaching something else.
Right.
Brother said one time, he said, Brother Dale and his son said, most people, y'all may think he's arrogant. He said, they're arrogant. He said, I just think they're confident.
Right.
You got to be confident.
Right.
If you're not confident in what you're doing, people, I'm talking about in natural life. If you're not confident in what you're doing, are you going to succeed?
No.
You're going to fail. But wisdom is the ability. Let's look at wisdom just for a minute. Is the ability to think and act using knowledge, experience, understanding, I like this one, common sense, and insight. One more time. They don't have it up here. I just picked this up back there a few minutes ago. But discernment is required of a Christian. And in discernment is wisdom. And wisdom is the ability to think and act using knowledge, experience, I'll read that in a minute. I'll put that back up there. Wisdom is the ability to think and act using knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. You must have all those. You say, well, knowledge is pretty tough. Well, you keep going on. It gets more complex as you go.
Right.
You wait till we get to temperance and patience.
Right.
See how many of you come back to church.
Yeah.
It hits you right where it should, right in the old gut. I'm talking about all of us. Let's go to number 10. The one you had up. Stature of a perfect man, Brother Brown says now. Now knowledge, now not worldly knowledge, but it's heavenly knowledge. Alright? And heavenly knowledge, when God is the fountain of all knowledge, and God is the Word. Then if you've got heavenly knowledge, or knowledge, faith, you believe the Word, and you reason anything by the Word.
Right.
Amen? You reason it by the words you hear. There's the discernment. You discern right, and you discern wrong. Now, we can discern wrong, because we're human. But once the very truth of God is presented to you, and you discern away from it, there's no sacrifice for that. You got to come right back to that. Remember, Brother Brown said, where you leave God is where you got to come back.
Right.
Amen? You got to come back to Him and find Him. I hope this is helping you a little bit. You're staying more awake tonight than you are this morning. I prayed the Lord would give you some strength, didn't I?
Yeah.
A little bit of strength. We need some natural strength. But you know what? Our heavenly strength will supersede our natural strength.
Right. Amen.
Samson was not... Listen. Samson was not 260, 6'5", and looked like a football player. Because the Pharisees, what were them people? Philistines. They'd look at him and go, I see why he can pick a gate up. I don't need to know why he's strong.
Right.
No, he looked like Barney Fife.
Right.
With seven little baby curls hanging off of his shoulder. Brother Brown called him a shrimp. That's why the Philistines wanted to know where his power came from. Because they saw this man that was physically unable to do any of that. But yet they wanted to know where that strength come from.
Right.
Maybe the same thing with you. Maybe somebody will get thirsty enough to know where your strength come from.
Right. Exactly.
That's what I mean. That's that outlet. They wanted to know, how in the world did he pick those 2,000 pound gates up and his arms were about that big around? They knew humanly it was impossible. But they watched him do it. And when they watched that witness of him doing it, they knew one thing's for sure. There's something about that guy that he's hiding. He's hiding some kind of strength in there somewhere. I want them to think that about me and you. The weakest Christian, Brother Brown said, when his feet hit the floor, the devil ought to start trembling.
Right.
The weakest Christian.
Right.
That's why we have faith, then we have virtue faith, and then we have knowledge faith. Knowledge faith will bring you a long way.
Right.
You'll never quit discerning. You'll never stop discerning. That's why I said, it's not like we're not filling the gas tank up. We're not going to fill it up to that line where it says knowledge, and then we're going to go to the empty tank called temperance. No, we're going to fill that knowledge all the way up.
Right.
The knowledge of God, the Bible says, will fill what? The earth, the sea, sky. All right? All right. Everybody okay with that?
Amen.
Knowledge, faith, discernment, wisdom. Now, what I saw, this last thing, and let's read it. Wisdom is the ability to think, act, using knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. Now, Brother Brown talks about insight. That's what brought me to this. I've got two extra quotes. Number 11. Let's look at number 11. Skip over that one scripture because we really don't need it right now. God manifesting his gift, 1957 in Edmonton, Alberta. And oh, may I stop here just a moment to say that I believe that these nations are now getting their last mercy call. I believe it. I'm on record and on tape by saying that. But I believe it with all my heart that there's not a person on earth who could ever shake this thing back to its conditions again.
Right.
All right? It'll take the move of God, the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Look at the indifference in the people today. Look how unconcerned they are. Like I said before. Convinced, then concerned. You got to be convinced that it's right and then concerned. There's your discernment. Look how unconcerned they are, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, just that was as it was predicted, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof.
Right.
Now we're looking for power, right?
Right.
The Bible said, from such, turn away. So I don't want to be associated with somebody that don't have any virtue.
Right.
Sure, we have to live in this world. Don't ever shun. Don't ever listen. Let me tell you something. Don't ever shun a human being.
Right.
I'm looking at every one of them. Don't you ever shun a human being
right.
and say, "Well, he ain't bride, or he's lost, or he's going to hell." Don't ever say that.
Right.
You know what? You let God do that.
Right.
But there's human beings, and if they need help, you help them.
Right.
He just might see God in you.
Right.
And never see God in anything else. You know, Jesus said, he said, "The world will see me no more. But you shall see me." What? Understand me. Right? Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. The Bible says, from such, turn away. Very religious. They've always been very religious. But not having the spiritual insight to understand. That's the main thing. That's the thing that designates your eternal destination is your spiritual conception. Amen?
Exactly.
Then it says, you know, it talks about Pharaoh. We'll not read that. But his conviction of his spiritual insight that by faith he saw the promise of God. He's talking about Pharaoh. And about Moses. Now, what if Moses would have looked at all the circumstances?
Right.
He had spiritual insight. His conviction of his spiritual insight that by faith he saw the promise of God. That's what me and you must do. Now, let's go to the last one. We've read this one before, but this one's out of the Church Age book. Revelation of Jesus Christ, Church Age book, chapter 1, 16:1. You will recall that I mentioned at the beginning of this message that this book we are studying is the actual revelation of Jesus himself. What's he talking about? The Bible. The Word. In the church and his work in the future ages.
Right.
Then I mentioned that it takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation, or we will fail to get it.
Right.
Bringing these two thoughts together, you will see that it won't take just ordinary study and thinking to make this book real. Now I'm pointing up here. This right here won't ever get you to heaven.
Right.
It's got to drop about 16 or 18 inches. All right? Just ordinary study or thinking to make this book real. It's going to have to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. That means this book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people. Now you say, well, that's contrary to what you said before. No, let God separate us. Let God separate us. Okay? You don't say, let God separate us. Now the Bible does tell us not to congregate with unbelievers. In other words, if you feel better around an unbeliever than you do a believer,
you better get
to praying. That is going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. That means this book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people.
Right.
It will take one with prophetic wisdom, insight, knowledge, Holy Ghost knowledge. It will require the ability to hear from God. How are you going to hear from God? Prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. Right? It will require supernatural instruction. Not just a student comparing verse with verse, though that is good. Because you know, if you as a student take Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, right? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost. He said the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then over in Acts 2:38, the man with the keys to heaven, which Jesus said, he said, whatever you say here, whatever you unlock here, I'm going to unlock up there. So Peter walks up on the day of Pentecost and he sticks a key in and he says, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You look at the two, verse with verse, and you see, I said you see, a contradiction. But it's not. Father's not a name. Son's not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. Jesus is telling them to baptize in the name of something. Peter says, okay, I got it. What is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because look, Jesus said, all you do in word and deed, do in the name of the Father. That's not what he said. No, that's not what he said. He said, all you do in word and deed, do in the name of Jesus Christ. All the family in heaven and earth is named Father, Son. No. Father's not a name. I'm a father, but I have a name. I'm a son, but I have a name. I'm a human, but I have a name. My name's Samuel Wade Dale II. Or Junior, if they want to call it. His name then, Peter said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know what? That connects us right to the family. You know what happened? God said, I'll take that. And he turned the key. And there's no way you can undo that. Amen? It will take one with prophetic insight. It will require the ability to hear from God. It will require supernatural instruction, not just a student comparing verse with verse, though that is good. But a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit, or it never comes clear. How we need to hear from God and lay ourselves open and become yielded to the Spirit to hear and to know. The word know is in the word knowledge.
Right.
Knowledge. It's knowing the right from the wrong. Amen? So there's your knowledge faith. It's being able to discern, and discernment is a requirement for a Christian.
Right.
You must discern. You got to discern spirits. You got to discern the word. You got to discern all these things. But you know what? God has made provision for you to where he's put that Holy Ghost inside, the teacher. Man, he's put the teacher in here that when you hear, the Bible talks about an uncertain sound. You know, you got a sound of battle, you got a sound of retreat, you got a victory sound, you got all these different sounds. You got to hear them first. Then you got to discern what that means. If that means retreat and you charge, that's your last day at the job. Right? But if you discern retreat and you retreat, you're okay. Same way with God. It will require supernatural instruction.
Right.
This word of God cannot be understood by man's common knowledge.
Amen.
It takes knowledge, faith,
right,
that I take it right back to the generator and I know there's power in that generator.
Right.
Come on, let's sing There's Power in the Blood.
Amen.
Come on, guys. I don't know what y'all got to sing, but let's sing There's Power in the Blood. If you don't mind, maybe I change the program a little bit. I'm not saying anything, Brother Dick. Not saying a word. We don't have a program around here, but they might have had a song they were going to sing. But we're going to sing There's Power in the Blood. Because that's where the power comes from. You may hold her while you play the drums? Okay, I will. You ready? Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood.
Just want you to pray about these seizures.
And we request now that you would take our little sister, Lord, that we're going to have faith for her. But Lord, I know she believes. She's born to Christian parents, Lord. Now I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that Satan, you leave this child in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say this, and amen. Amen. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Heard our sister, and we take our faith together with hers, Lord, that she will grow up in you, Father. Anoint this body, Lord. Anoint her all the way down to her soul, Father, and you'll give her strength, Lord, that you'll raise her body up, number one, Lord, and number two, that you'll give her such a power and a strength, Lord, that she'll accept everything, Lord, that's contrary out there. Accept your word, Father, and accept it, Lord, as truth. Lord, it's for our sister. She just gave you, Lord, the request. And now I pray that you would bring it, Lord, to pass. Anoint our sister, Lord. Bless her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what to do. Nobody's got to tell you what to do. You know what to do. You know what? You just got to do it. If you're doing this, and you don't want to do that, do this. You know. You've been in this long enough. You know. And we're all here with you to help you. I don't want you to be a baby either. I love you, sister. God bless you. You'll be fine. You don't worry about it. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Sit. To Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. Believe it. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Listen. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Here's your promise. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. We have the power here. We do not have to go get it.
Right.
Moses even had enough of revelation to say, you ain't got to climb
right
up in a cloud or go to heaven or jump 20 feet high. He said, He's right here.
Amen.
He's nigh thee, even in thy mouth.
Right.
What? Your profession. Your profession, your confession. You must confess these things.
Right.
Our problem is we've come to a place to where we don't repent anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have to repent. Really? The prophet repented every day.
Right.
Do you ever ask God to save you?
Amen.
I do. You know, He may have saved my soul, but I'm asking Him to save me from myself.
Right.
Right? I ask Him to save me from me. Because I might be born again inside, but I still got a me to worry with.
Right.
Memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. There is our problem.
Right.
It's not see, taste, feel, smell, and hear.
Right.
That has nothing to do with it.
Right.
It's memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination.
Right.
It's what happens through these outlets. I was listening the other day. Somebody was talking about epilepsy, and we were talking about certain things. And Brother Brown, a lot of times he would pray for people, pray for cancer, pray for things. He wouldn't ask the congregation to do anything. But boy, when it come to epilepsy,
yeah.
When it come to epilepsy, and I think one other thing, he said, everybody bow your head and close your eyes. He said, because the outlet to your soul is through your eyes. He said, that demon will come off of that and go right straight into you through what you see. Now, it wasn't the eyeballs.
Right.
It's what you let in.
Right.
Right? It wasn't the eyeballs that he was dealing with. He knew that if that demon went out and you could see it, it would enter in, because a lot of people weren't strong enough to keep that thing away. So he said, close your eyes. A lot of other things he didn't say that.
Right.
He knew which was the strong ones. Remember Jesus, even the disciples, they cast out devils. They done all kind of things in the Bible. Remember the epileptic kid?
Right.
They couldn't heal that kid.
Right.
Jesus said, that's a special one.
Right.
Something about that, that's a special one. It takes prayer and fasting
right
to cast that demon out.
Exactly.
So it's a little, demons are different, but you know what? There you go into discernment. We got to discern. We must discern what these spirits are doing to us.
Right.
I wish I had more time on knowledge, because it's a real good one to continue on, but we'll back up a little bit next Sunday, but not much for saving time. But you got to discern as soon as you get up in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as you get up in the morning, you're discerning.
Right.
You're discerning all the day long. But you know what? The only person that's going to, listen, the only person that's going to stop you is you.
Right.
The only person that's going to stop you is you.
Right.
Brother Branham, great revelation. Brother Branham said, if you're stingy, give it away. He said, do the vice versa. I bet them scholars are sitting there going, what in the world is vice versa? What he was doing is he was breaking that spirit. He was breaking that spirit of being stingy by giving everything away. You know what? You can drive a lot of unclean spirits out not by coming up here and seeing the thing go through the wall. The word of God, I thought, was what was what drove the demons out. Right? The word of God. I said many times, Jesus, they didn't have to scream at them devils.
Right.
Brother Branham never screamed at them devils.
Right.
He said, come out.
Right.
And you know what? He had the power.
Right.
He had the virtue. He had the right. He had it plugged into the right outlet.
Right.
And that, you know what? That demon had to honor what that man said.
Right.
What's the difference in me and you?
Right.
Do we have virtue, faith, enough strength to whip those demons? That's what we got to have, people. And it's right down there at the bottom where you're getting started. It's not all these up through here. That's the first two, virtue, faith, and knowledge, faith. We must have them two to survive. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd be with us and go with us, Lord, this week. Be with us till we come back to visit again on Wednesday night, Lord. Be with the Sims family and the Dale family as we go to pay our respects to the human part down here, Lord, but I pray that you'd just be with us all in spirit and in truth here, Lord, in this building, Father. Take care of each one of us. Protect us, Lord. We know that the devil would love to just shut us all up. But, Father, you've got a plan and a purpose. And if we're part of that plan and a purpose, then we ought to be able to see that our journey will not end until you're finished with us, Lord. We pray that you'd be with each one. Be with the ones that are sick, Brother Gary, and all the ones, Lord, that needs a touch now, Lord. I pray that you'd just touch each one. Father, just forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes. We know sometimes we say things hard, but Lord, I believe it's the truth, and I believe we need to take the truth and then apply it to our life. Father, just give us our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses. Be with us on the highways on the way home till we come back together in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.